This is Echo Zoe Radio, episode 102 for October 2016 with Fred Butler on Halloween.
Welcome to Echo Zoe Radio, the podcast outreach of Echo Zoe Ministries, where you'll hear about important topics affecting the church today. Our primary goal is to explore a variety of issues while remaining faithful to God and His Word. Stay with us for the next hour as your host, Andy Olson, shares his conversation with this month's guest. Here's your host, Andy Olson.
I'm Andy Olson. Thanks for listening to Echo Zoe Radio. This is episode 102 for October 2016. My guest for this episode is Fred Butler, returning for his third, and our topic is Halloween. The discussion this month is much more informal than I typically do. Neither Fred nor I consider ourselves expert on the subject of our discussion, but rather approach this as two mature brothers discussing our opinions on Halloween. Regardless, we hope that it is an encouragement and a blessing to you. Check out the web post for this episode for an outline of the discussion, relevant links, scriptures referenced in related episodes. You can find that at echozoe.com/102. Before we start, I wanted to point you back to a previous episode I did. Back in February for episode 94, Nate Pickowitz came on to discuss his book, Reviving New England. The book is out now, and I want to encourage you to get a copy. It's not just about New England. It's really about revitalizing the church across America and around the world. And with that said, here's my discussion with Fred Butler. Fred Butler, it's great to have you back. This is podcast number 3 with you on Echo Zoe Radio.
No kidding.
You know, I was just talking
to broadcast. That's right. I said, that is right. We've done 3 podcasts together. One on King James, Onlyism. I think something about atheism and...
Yep.
Now we're doing something on Halloween,
I think is our time. You brought up Halloween. I was asking if you wanted to do a podcast with me, and I thought, that could be an interesting one. It's October, so it's on people's minds. So, I was just talking to Len Pettis of Bible Thumping Wingnut about a week ago, and you're on with them, and I was joking with Len about how our last episode, you brought up being on another podcast, and yes. I think I kind of subtly... accused you of podcast cheating on me.
Moonlighting.
Yeah. But no, it's fun to hear you on there and glad to have you on here with you and looking forward to this. So we're gonna talk about Halloween, and it's I think a little bit more casual conversation than is typical for Echo. We've done some casual in the past, but not so much you know, normally my format is pick a good topic that people should hear about and find an expert on the subject. And I don't know if this is quite one where there even is an expert, but
I'm not an expert on Halloween. So but I do have some opinions about it.
Yeah,
but.
So we're just gonna talk about our opinions about Halloween and kind of as maybe not experts, but matured Christians that have been through it before. But maybe we can kick off talking about you had a blog post that you sent me that covered the history of your experience with Halloween, which you've been through and your opinions and whatnot. Maybe we could kick off with some of that.
Yes, that's probably the blog post pretty much summarizes my thinking on that matter. And the title of it was called De-Chickifying Halloween. And if anybody is familiar with Jack Chick's little tracks, basically decrying Halloween, how it's satanic, and you're basically setting yourself up for some kind of witch attack or something, or Satanist breaking into your home and, you know, butchering your kids kind of philosophy of Halloween. You know, that's what I was exposed to when I first became a Christian. And, you know, and honestly, growing up in, you know, mid America, you know, there in Missouri is where I grew up as a kid. And in the 80s, you know, late 70s, early 80s, when I was a little kid, my brother was a little kid, we never thought of Halloween as being satanic or devils or gore or any of that kind of stuff. All the thing we knew is that I got to dress up like some character that I liked, and we got to go out and, you know, beg for candy from the neighbors. And they were eager and willing to give it to us, which we were happy to do, you know, help we. So we get our little plastic pumpkin jack-o'-lantern things and come back with them being filled, you know, with candy bars
and you smart about how you can scour your own neighborhood and then hit like three other neighborhoods and you got your stashes. Oh, yeah. You got to empty your bucket so that you can fill it about six times.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Never happens, and, you know, but you're scheming. You know, your little kid just thinking about it's free. We got to make the best of it.
That's exactly right. And I think the only thing that was sinister that we thought about with Halloween is my mother would anything that was homemade. So if you had candied apples or brownies or Rice Krispie treats that somebody had made, she would always take those and toss them because I guess she was under the impression that there were, you know, these sinister, you know, serial killers out there who put razor blades in apples. She was victim of that urban legend. And I'm just thinking, I got my, you know, it was Miss Eveling from across the street who gave me this apple.
Sweetest old lady.
I didn't think that she was, you know, had this darkness about her, you know, in her, her mind. And for the most part, that was our.
If that Halloween. Same old lady brings you pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving, later, here. You guys are, it's gone before she's out the door, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, well, did she put Drano in this? I mean, you know, it just was ridiculous to what my mother, makes you kind of wonder what she thought about the people in our town. But anyway, what she knew or whatever. But it wasn't really until I was in college and Lord was pleased to save me my freshman year that I began to became exposed to all of these articles and tracks and chick comic books and various, you know, sermons and audio things. I think we may have had some guy come one time to some youth rally thing and talked about Satan and Halloween. That's when I started to find out that Halloween had some kind of sinister satanic connection to it. And I think the things that probably shaped my thinking about Halloween was one, Mike Warnke, who was later exposed as a hoax, but he claimed to be this Satanist high priest, you know, before he got saved. And he had this a testimony of him, just how he, you know, led all these terrible satanic rituals and all of this as his high priest. But then it's later come to find out that he was a big fraud and made most of it up and was basically an early version of Ergen Kanner and his fake Muslim testimony. We'd listen to his tapes and it's like, oh, I don't want to be doing what Satan does, you know? And then the Jack Chick tracks that talked about how you had all of these, Satanists out there, you know, who are just sort of lurking in the shadows, looking for someone who has jack-o'-lanterns or something on the, on your porch so that they can come in and take your kids or whatever. And then there was this one woman. Believe it or not, she was an atheist, and I might have written about this in my article, but she had this weird fixation on Satanism as an historical sort of phenomena. And so she had claimed that she's documented all of these, what she called generational Satanists. And she talks about how they use all of these holidays as sort of their, you know, various points. Yeah. And she kind of treated them like they were the mafia, you know, it's like these families of Satanists that basically, you know, pass on their lineage to their next generation of kids and how they have grottos and, you know, that they do that. She pushed this myth about, you know, buses that are traveling the interstates that have these Satanists on them. They look like your normal travel buses, but inside they're abusing kids or doing some other ill-gotten thing, you know, and she would get published in all of the alternative magazines and newspapers in our college town. And I think one of our pastors, if I remember correctly, had her come and speak one Halloween, you know, one October when I was in college and give her, you know, lecture about, you know, Satanism and just how you don't need to be doing Halloween. And if you're doing Halloween, you're doing what Satanists do. And I was just, and then looking back on it, I'm kind of floored that they would allow this atheist woman, because when she was not railing against Satanism, she was railing against God and Christianity and all the other religions too. I mean, because she was at our school, I think she taught sociology or something at our school. And, but anyway, that all shaped my mythos and my mind on thought about Halloween.
Well, that sounds similar to, I grew up in a ELCA Lutheran church, and you know, I wasn't saved till college, but back in junior high, high school, early high school, you know, going through confirmation and stuff. And I remember them bringing a guy in that, you know, we went in to listen to, his thing wasn't Halloween, but it sounded really similar. His thing was rock music and how, history of all these like rockers and how they like sold their souls to the devil in order to get their fame and their fortune and whatnot. And you can't listen to Alice Cooper or Kiss or any of these guys, 'cause you know, you're opening, you know, the back masking and all that stuff where they're.
Oh, yeah, we had a guy come in and do that too. And he had rigged his record player to play backwards. Uh-huh. You have one of those guys.
Yep.
And play the songs backwards, and he'd say something, and you'd be like, "Here, did you hear that? What it's saying is that Satan is building walls in your heart." And I'm like, I didn't hear Satan is building walls in your heart. I just heard a bunch of noise. And I can hear it. I could hear it.
Well, that was like the late 80s version of bad lip reading. You know, you ever watch those bad lip reading videos on YouTube?
Yes, my kids love that stuff.
But you gotta be creative, and that guy's got some real creativity to be able to see the lips there, watching videos in mute or something, and then imagining what they're saying,
and as opposed to what they're really saying,
right? You know, yeah, you get like a few syllables that are somewhat intelligible, and they kind of fill in the gap when they're back masking these rock videos,
right? And so their whole thing with the backward masking is like, well, it couldn't have been, men are not creative enough to, you know, sing words forward so that they say something backwards. And, so that's got to be something spiritual, which I'm just thinking, look, the devil, it's pretty much probably anti-God the forwards way. Yeah, exactly. Why would he need to, what would the backward masking do? I mean, so how does that add an extra kind of, you know, to the possession or something, or an extra binding of the devil? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
So you kind of went, got saved, and then got married, and had very similar experience to when I got married, and we and our wives are sitting down, and Halloween comes along the first time that after we're married, and now what do? Like, we've ratted all these Jack Tick tracks and we've heard all the sermons about how satanic they are. What are we gonna do?
But that was my wife and I both, when she got saved, she was in one of these little fundamentalist Calvary Chapel style churches as well, and she had the same sort of upbringing about Satanism and Halloween. So when we got saved and we got married, I had pretty much spent my whole time separating from and decrying anybody that was a Christian that would put up Halloween decorations or anything like that. And she did too. Mm-hmm. And so when we got married, I think our first couple of Halloweens, we just turned off the lights and pretty much just laid low in our apartment, and didn't want to have anybody come into our door. And didn't want to have anything to do with it. It's like, oh, it's a devil night, and we're going to stay out of it. Like it's the purge or something. And as long as you stay out of anybody's sight, you're not going to get killed, kind of thing. So that was sort of our approach. And
well, we had a similar thing, and we figured that was a good time to go shopping, you know, go to the mall, because then you don't have to wonder every time the doorbell rings with the lights off, you know, is that somebody who's actually like wants to talk to us or something?
And, yeah, right.
You know, everybody knows when the lights are off, you're not supposed to ring the doorbell. But
here in California, you go to the mall, that's where all the trick-or-treaters are too, because they're there trick-or-treating at the stores. It's a different experience being in LA.
They always do that like the weekend before here. You know, the stores will open up a couple hours where they'll do trick-or-treat.
They do it sort of the well, it depends on the day. If it's the if it's during the week, they'll do it like the day of. If it's on a weekend, like if trick or treating is on if Halloween falls on a Sunday, I think they do it like on the Saturday before or something.
Okay.
And I can't remember. And we also have, I mean, we live in LA, and all of the major studios, like Universal Studios, has a world class. They just basically turn the whole place.
Oh, your sound cut out. So before Satan interrupted us by corrupting Satan, he doesn't want anybody to hear about Halloween on a Christian podcast. So he interrupted our Hangouts talk here. Before he did that, you were talking about Universal Studios and all the Hollywood studios stuff and what they do on Halloween.
That is correct. Here in LA, all of the major studios basically turn their whole thing into a major haunted house. And I mean, the big theme now is zombies, so that's usually what they go with. Uh-huh. But they'll have like full-on stage special effects looking stuff. I mean, it's pretty impressive, but you have to be 18 or older to go to them because they're kind of graphic or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never do any of that stuff, but so that's our experience here in LA. I don't know how they I think Six Flags, Magic Mountain does something like that. And Knott's Berry Farm.
We've got the local amusement park here is called Valley Fair. And they do, they shut down shortly after Labor Day because it starts cooling down and kids are all back in school and stuff. But for a couple of weeks or a couple of weekends in October, they open back up and they have Valley Scare and. You know, they do.
Yes. That's what they do. That's what they do here. And so it's called, I think it's Knott's Scary Farm instead of Knott's Berry Farm. anyway. At any rate, you know, my wife and I, when we first got married, we didn't want to have anything to do with that. And I think it was a neighbor across the way from our townhouse where we lived who, he had just kind of come to know the Lord. He was an old 80s TV star actor who'd played on a number. He was always the tough guy or the bad guy, like on Simon and Simon or something like, you know, one of these shows, one of these Magnum PI. He'd be like one of the gangster guys. He did it. And my friend just come to know the Lord. And to him, he saw Halloween as this great opportunity to, you know, hand out John MacArthur tapes of all things. Mm-hmm. And so he would come to me and ask me for John MacArthur tapes. And I'm like, oh, because we were still doing tapes at the time. And I said, well, yeah, sure. And he's like, yeah, you got people coming right to your door and you can give them literature and invite them to church. And I got stuff for my church. And so if you got some John MacArthur tapes, I'm going to give that to the parents and invite them to come. And, you know, and so he loved it. He got all into it. And my wife and I just began to think, it's like, look, we understand that this is Halloween. You know, obviously it has this witchcraft history and all of this stuff that's maybe 1,500 years old now. Yeah. But you have an opportunity to really your neighbors are coming to your house instead of being seen as these stick in the mud Christians. You know, who are not friendly and don't want to talk about.
No different than Jehovah's Witnesses at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, they won't celebrate any holiday. They won't do anything. They don't vote. They don't. I mean, it's just like, just withdraw from society.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, we're like, why don't we do something where we're seen as approachable and loving and caring about our people, and hey, we want your kids to come, we'll give them a little candy, and oh, she looks like a princess. I mean, mm-hmm. what really is the big deal is kind of what we started thinking about. And I think also what really began to germinate in our hearts is that Halloween is the day of the Reformation. Mm-hmm. Halloween historically is called All Saints Eve. And the next day, November 1st, is All Saints Day. And it is when the Catholic Church would open up all of their churches and all of their cathedrals. And the people would go in and they basically would, you know, make prayers for, you know, for their loved ones that were in purgatory. And it was when Martin Luther, on the day before, because Rome at that time was basically making merchandise of this false doctrine of purgatory, that he nailed his 95 theses on the door, Wittenberg door, in order for the people the next day to walk in and they'd see this big thing basically speaking out against making merchandise of purgatory or the doctrine of purgatory and praying for the saints, and because they'd put the money in there. And if you put money, give money to the church, I mean, it's just like it is with the health and wealth gospel. You give money to the priest, you know, they're going to pray for your people, and you know, hey, I'll pray the hundredfold blessing. You know, there's the same idea. And in Christians, we just thought have this wonderful opportunity to be preaching the doctrines of the Reformation. This is what God, this is the true gospel. We have a friend of ours that he puts a big bust of Luther out by their bowl of candy there by their door. And yeah, I mean, you got kids coming with their, you know, dressed like Dracula and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, we give them stuff to listen to, or we talk to the parents about the Reformation. I mean, that's, you got this opportunity to witness and share your faith, and what better time? And you got these people coming by and they wanting to be there, and all the neighbors are out greeting each other, and you normally don't see each other anyway. And here you are, this Christian who's locked in his room, locked in his house because, well, this is the devil's night and I don't want to have anything to do with it, and I'm holy and all this sort of thing. And so we just sort of had this transformation of heart. And so we just don't see Halloween like that anymore. And I think you would probably agree with me, too, that your children also have a big impact on that as well.
Oh, yeah, that's how I was just going to go, is like when you have a baby, that first child, they're still so little that you can shut the lights off and, you know, no big deal. But once they hit that maybe two or three, you know, by four years old, then they start wondering, well, why are they all the other kids in the neighborhood running around dressed up in fancy costumes and stuff? And we had neighbors who had, they had a boy and a girl, and we now have three boys, but and now a baby girl. But they used to bring over the toys that their kids would grow out of, especially their son, because he was like 5 years older than our oldest, and so he'd grow out of stuff, and they would want to get rid of it, and so they just bring it over to our house, and our kids would give it new life, you know, and kind of like Woody on the Toy Story, you know. Like,
right.
So they brought over like a big bag full of nicer Halloween costumes. And, you know, when I grew up, I think it was like you did, you know, you get the plastic stuff. It was like a painted garbage bag, basically, with a Superman logo on it.
Yeah, you had a shimmering kind of Batman. It had like a big giant Batman's thing on the front.
And then this super have like a thin plastic mask that, like, before you actually get out of the house, it would be the little staple that hold the rubber band on it would break, and
you would try to keep that thing for a year because I'll use this next year, but usually the plastic starts cracking right away.
Yeah, so they brought us like these little, like a little dinosaur thing that was like made out of cloth and stuffed, and it was like really nice shape, and then like a, who's the fire guy on Fantastic Four, you know, it was one of those costumes and stuff. So we got these costumes here, and the kids are wondering, well, you know, of course they're like, well, we want to be able to use those and go do some trick or treating and stuff. So yeah, definitely kids start kind of making you rethink that. And is this really as bad as the Jack Chick track makes it sound? And
yeah, I hear you. And our kids were the same way, and they had friends that are like, hey, well, we're going to go trick or treating. What are you going to go in Halloween? What are you going to do? And we'd be like, I don't know. But we're just thinking, you know, do we want our kids to be having this jaded, hysterical kind of conspiracy driven view of Halloween? Or can we let them go and do the innocent stuff? I understand Halloween's got some ghoulish, dark elements to it. And we don't go down to the Universal Studios. We don't do that. And most of the, as far as I know, I don't really know any Christians that are in my circle of friends who would even want to go down there and participate in that stuff. Okay. But if you've got a neighborhood with a lot of sweet neighbors who are your friends, and, you know, why can't they bring their kids over and you give them some candy and say hi to them and be friendly?
Give them a million dollar track while they're at it.
Yes, exactly. And it's the same with, you know, let the kids dress up. My kids aren't dressing up like zombies and ghouls and all that kind of stuff. They're just dressing up like, I think for the longest time, it was Star Wars themed stuff.
Yeah.
The oldest boys are kind of out of the, they're not even really, they just want the candy now. They don't even want the costumes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that reminds me when I was, this was pre-salvation. I was, I think it was 14. I think it was the last time I went trick-or-treating and I didn't dress up. And of course the ladies, you'd knock, you'd ring the doorbell and the lady would come to the door and you'd say trick-or-treat. Well, what are you dressed up as? And I kept telling them, I'm dressed up as the Repo Man. And they're like, oh, I better lock my car up.
Yeah, no. you know, and we have churches. I think a lot of churches take the opportunity rather than, you know, because you might have experienced this too. I remember when I was a kid, when we had moved from Missouri to Arkansas, the church that we started to attend would turn their church into a haunted house. And it wasn't like one of these hell houses where you can go through there and see all the horrors of hell. And then you have this lecture about Jesus at the end, like some of these people. I mean, it was just a haunted house. So you would have, you know, scary noises and all that stuff. And we had a pastor that came shortly after we got to that church, a new pastor, and he wanted to get rid of that, which I think is right. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he replaced it with something much more profitable. It was just sort of a festival time. Let the kids dress up. They come there, you know, have some games, have some fun, enjoy the night.
They call it a harvest festival?
Yeah, that's how they kind of direct it. And churches here in my area, that's what they do. And there's a big church in town here that you know, they have this trunk or treat where they have all these people line up their cars in the parking lot and they're, you know, handing out candy to the little kids as they walk from, you know, from row to row to row to cars. Uh-huh. And so you have your big plastic bag of candy, but, you know, they have opportunity to have bouncy houses there. And there's, I think Chick-fil-A might even come there and sell some sandwiches. I don't know. Uh-huh. But they take it as an opportunity. Hey, come to our church. This is what we're about. Here's some things about, here's a sermon from our pastor. Here's a little booklet that we wrote. We think you might enjoy. And they give that to the parents. I mean, it's a tremendous outreach. There's a guy walking around like Martin Luther with his 90. He's taught, he's cool. Preaching. That's kind of fun. And it's just, it's, you know, rather than being this sort of, you know, withdrawn group of people, I think this is like a great opportunity to seize and to turn it to the advantage of being something that's honoring to God and might actually be that ministers to people and shows that, hey, that's my neighbors next door and they're Christians. And, you know, we see them out at Halloween, you know, and I'm having problems in my marriage. I want to go talk to that husband, you know, whatever it might be, that your neighbors see that you're actually normal people and enjoy normal things. They're going to want to talk with you and see you. We've got neighbors next to, across the street that's the same way. I mean, they're, you know, we've got a great relationship with them. They're probably Greek Orthodox. I think he's from Syria and mm-hmm. I'm not sure where she's at. I think she's from Mexico. It's kind of an interesting combination. but they, you know, but they want to raise their kids right. And, you know, we see them, they come over, they get candy, we look at their costumes, we laugh, we have a good time. But I've had lots of great opportunities to just talk with him a little bit about the Lord. We've taken his kids to our church to do Awana. So we're giving them opportunities to be exposed to the gospel. Yeah. And if you're just people like, oh, we don't do that kind of stuff because it's ungodly and satanic.
Well, I think it's important to talk about the conscience side of things too. And it, like, you and I have come to we've gone through similar things and we've come out to a similar place in the end on where we view Halloween. You know, we're passing out tracts and we're a little more relaxed about it. We're not engaged in the darker side of Halloween, but we're definitely more relaxed than we were as new Christians. But there's a, you know, we don't want to get anybody to violate their conscience. You know, if somebody had come to me when I was in that young Christian state, and said, oh, you got to lighten up. You know, that would have been bad. I think that was something that I needed to get to the way the Lord brought me and not being beaten over the head with.
Yeah, exactly. And I, one of the things that I hear what you're saying, I think the way I kind of approach it, and I've talked with people who are very hysterical, you know, I can't believe that you let your kids do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just try to challenge them a little bit. It's like, look, number one, we're not doing, it's like what you're saying, we're not doing the bad elements, the ghosts and the witches and, you know, the wicked stuff that I'm sure Halloween can do. I said, our goal is to kind of promote, you know, our church and who we are as Christians. Whenever we talk to these folks, our kids are out there, they're having fun. Is it a big deal to really dress like a stormtrooper and to pretend, you know, for one night? I mean, how is that anti-gospel or anti-God?
Right.
And they're not, and we give the opportunity to talk with them about the purposes of the Reformation and that there is a religious element to what Halloween was about and why it was the way it was. And you talk about those things that are great, you know, that are going to be things that honor the Lord. That's how I kind of approach it. And my exhortation is like, look, you go to Romans 14 and 15, where you had a similar controversy, which I think is sort of between the Gentiles and the Jews, where there were Jews that were probably still hung up on eating unkoshered food, and they probably wanted to come to church on Saturday instead of Sunday because of their whole thing with the Sabbath. And, you know, Paul is just telling them, hey, can you exercise some grace, Gentiles, to these individuals that, you know, let them kind of grow in that and, you know, come around in their own time. And I think there's the same exhortation as to those who would be hardcore against Halloween. Can you exercise some grace? Do you see in my life, in the people that you're criticizing and judging, do you see any genuine ungodliness otherwise? I mean, these are people who are solid and love the Lord. And one night they let their kids dress up like cowboys or something, and they go and get candy from their neighbors. Why is that a bad thing?
Right.
And if, especially if they're taking the opportunity to invite people to church and they're talking to them about the Lord, and they're, you know, our kids will, I talked to them about who Martin Luther was. I talked to them about what Halloween is all about, and they know that, and they like it, and it's something that they enjoy doing.
Yep.
And they want to have fun with the kids whenever they come to our door now. And that's the way I think would probably be the most profitable way to approach that discussion with people. And it's hard because I know I was there at one time and I wouldn't hear any kind of reasoning whatsoever.
But, well, it sounds like something that fit well with your King James only conspiracy theorist side too.
You know, it's
when you go through that phase where, and I went through it too, I wasn't King James only, but I went through that same phase where everything was a conspiracy theory and, you know, the world was just out to get us and, you know, the Illuminati rule the world and this is how they influence people and kind of thing, you know?
I was going to say, you know, probably my most sinister thing I did when I was a kid during Halloween is I would go trick or treating for UNICEF, probably raising money for some third world dictator warlord guy because he's getting that money from the UN because UNICEF is a UN driven children's fund thing, but they give it to some third world dictator probably to disperse to the kids that he just uses it to continue his drug cartel or his violence against some other tribe. I mean, to me, that's more satanic than dressing up like
and going for a Kit Kat bar.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's something that I just wish Christians, or my prayer would be that I would hope that Christians would kind of evaluate this topic in a way that, you know, give some mercy and some consideration to your friends and who might enjoy doing it, especially one of the kids. And, you know, just don't think that everything about it has to be evil and wicked. It's not. I mean, we have fun doing it and we enjoy it. And to us, it's an opportunity to meet our neighbors. And
Absolutely. Yeah. We just moved, end of August, we moved to a new house and new neighborhood and stuff. So absolutely. That'll be our thing this year is getting to see some of the kids in the neighborhood. Our kids haven't met any kids in the new neighborhood yet.
Right.
We're kind of in a secluded place in our neighborhood where There's a lot of homes around us, but we're in a quiet spot. So it's hard to see other kids out playing and stuff. And so we'll use that. And of course, we've always liked to find a good track. I like the Ray Comfort $1 million bill track. Like 1,000. I bought like 20 packs of them years and years and years ago. So I'm still trying to get rid of them, but they're great. You know, the adults love them. You know, here's some candy for the kid, and here, give this to your mom and dad. Tell them thanks a million for taking you trick or treating. And you know, they think it's funny.
You know, they'll look at that, and exactly. It's something that they'll look at, and oh, we got some Christians here, and yeah. There's a lot of people kind of have hangups too with Christmas.
I was going to go there too, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's probably a little more of those real, I mean, that's more of a puritanical sort of people who are really into the worldview of the Puritans, where they saw Christmas as Catholic or whatever. I've never had that background. To me, Christmas was family coming together, eating ham, you know, prime rib, and giving gifts to one another. I didn't have a Christmas tree. I didn't think about it being this totem pole or anything that's sinister and evil with regards to Christmas.
Right.
But in our neighborhood, like,
was that Saturnalia or is that?
I think it's
the death. It's in the middle of winter because it symbolizes the death of the pagan god
and then spring is sort of the rebirth of this pagan god.
And the Yule log gets replaced with the tree and blah blah blah.
I would be interesting to actually do some history on that, those actual subjects, and see how much of it has been polluted by bogus Christian urban legend history, revisionist stuff, like by that Hyslop. Alexander Hyslop was notorious for trying to tie all of these, you know, little strings together about the history of symbolisms that really has nothing to do with. He's like, oh, this is Babylonian. And I'm like, no, it's really not, if you actually go and dig a little. But in our neighborhoods, and there's some very wealthy neighborhoods, but they basically, all of the neighbors gather together and they decorate their homes. And I'm talking hardcore, you know, motorized sleigh and reindeer going around on a track above the house kind of thing, and all of that sort of thing. And there's this one place that's actually famous in LA County where there's hundreds of thousands of cars driving through and people walking to look at the lights, and the neighbors are out singing carols. There is one family in that neighborhood, their house is absolutely dark, and it is really weird. And you walk through and it come to find out that they're one of these families that just doesn't like, I don't know what the reason, if they're Jehovah's Witnesses or what it is, but they think, you know, Christmas is worldly and materialistic kind of thing. And I'm just like, there could have been a great opportunity. If we were there, it would be the coming of Christ and the whole joy to the world kind of thing, which you got a lot of that in the area. But I just, why do you want to squander that opportunity because you got this, you know, hang up about, well, you know, this is really paganism and I don't want to be part, you know. I think we're far enough removed from paganism that we can kind of just forget. Nobody's thinking about this Christmas tree being a, you know, an idol or some kind of asterisk grove or something like that. No one thinks of that. But on the flip side, I'd say this. I think sometimes the Reformed Christians, they go a little too far where they're trying to read into everything some kind of spiritualized stuff that's really not there, and they shouldn't do that. And I'm thinking of like there's an article, and if you read my article, you'll probably put it in the show notes, where I linked to a James Jordan article where he was trying to say, well, you know, Halloween is when God and Christ came back and redeemed all these things, and you know, the Reformation was a mockery. Halloween's supposed to be a mockery of the devil because you're dressing up as Satan to mock him. Well, I don't know if you can necessarily say that. That's not what the purpose was originally. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm like, hey, take the opportunity to get to meet your neighbors and invite them to church and give them information about the Lord. That's what you need to do. That's how I'd approach it.
If you don't mind, I want to take just a real short break here, and then we'll come back and kind of continue the discussion. I don't know if there's a ton more to say, but we'll come back and talk a little bit more about Halloween and a little bit about Christmas and whatnot. But
this is Echo Zoe Radio.
My name is Landon Chapman, and I want to tell you about the Fire Away Podcast. The Fire Away Podcast is the radio ministry of IntrudingFavor.com and the IntrudingFavor.com website. Each week, I discuss a variety of topics from a mostly Reformed viewpoint, ranging from current events to scriptural exposition. My goal is to be faithful to the Word of God, to glorify Him, and in the spirit of 2 Corinthians 3:18, be transformed into Christ's likeness. You may find the Fireway Podcast at IntrudingFavor.com, SermonAudio.com, subscribe on iTunes, or subscribe using your favorite podcatcher application.
Did you know that you can hear this podcast on Voice in the Wilderness Radio? VWR was founded for the purpose of magnifying the preaching of those whose preaching magnifies God. We're a 24/7 streaming radio station that you can listen to online or free apps for your mobile devices. You'll hear constant preaching from men like John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Paul Washer, Vody Bachum, Steve Lawson, and more. And you'll also hear podcasts like this one. VWR only plays material that conforms with our strict standard of sound exposition, discernment, and solid adherence to doctrines like the inerrancy and sufficiency of Scripture. The real heart of VWR, however, is to highlight the little guy, the pastors of small churches who are faithful expositors each week and enjoy bringing to you some of the best sermons you've never heard of from some of the best pastors you've never heard of to help equip you for ministry and edify your soul. And you, if you're listening, can submit your sermons to VWR as well. Listen online at wildernessradio.com or download the apps for your mobile devices. And thank you for supporting this quality podcast.
Talking about Halloween, and like I said, it's a very informal conversation. It's just kind of two guys talking about our experiences about Halloween. And
yes, I expect people to hear this, and we may be held down and receive severe pink bellies. I got Christians that'll probably, I can't believe that you believe this is terrible.
Well, I really do think that it's a meat sacrifice to idols kind of thing, and it's a conscience thing, and I wouldn't pressure somebody who really has a hard time on their conscience letting their kids trick or treat. You know, if you really, really have a hard time in your conscience, don't do it. But
exactly, but
we don't have that issue with our conscience. We've been through it. My kids do go trick or treating, and I'm looking forward to it this year, being in a new house, a chance to meet a few of the neighbors, let the kids come over to our house and maybe meet a couple of the grownups. I haven't even met my next door neighbor yet, you know, so it might be a good chance to do that.
Right. Yeah. And it is with our neighbors as well. And I think last year, I can't remember what was going on either. I was not feeling well. Something happened, but I think my wife took our kids to like the Baptist church's little trick or trunk thing. Mm-hmm. But I was here with our dog, and I remember taking her a walk around the neighborhood, seeing all the kids, seeing all of my friends, waving at them, and they're even inviting me over. Hey, do you want some candy? And all that. Like, sure, I'm not dressed up as just coming as the friendly neighbor. Yep. But I just get to talk to them a little bit, and I think I tweeted out something on my Twitter. Something like, yeah, you know, all of these neighbors out smiling, waving at each other, talking to each other, all being friendly. It's very satanic or something like that. And it was good. And I held back and I stayed back and gave out candy when the kids came. And yeah, it was a great time and enjoyed it tremendously.
Well, I do like the idea of, some of the churches, and you talked about a little bit, having like the harvest festivals or the Reformation festivals or whatnot, get back. you know, if your conscience really does bother you about trick-or-treating or handing out candy to the neighbors, you know, that I think that's a great alternative. If your church puts something on and can do it
right.
to glorify God and, you know, learn a little bit of Reformation history and play right. some games with other believers and have some fellowship time and whatnot.
Right.
That might be a great alternative for somebody whose conscience just says, don't go there on Halloween. And
I agree with you. Our church, they do their stuff kind of in conjunction with Awana. They have like a fall festival. So usually they have it the Saturday before Halloween.
Okay.
Most of it, and it's all games and doing Awana oriented things. Mm-hmm. And I think on the Wednesday before Halloween, they might, Awana at our church, they might let you dress up like, and I think they try to promote, dress up as a Bible character. So you have kids dressed up like, you know, Esther, girls dressed up like Esther, or, you know, and I haven't seen anybody come in with, you know, dressed like Ehud or,
Lot's wife, dressed like Eglon, a pillar of salt. Yeah,
or Eglon, you know, with a big sword out of his belly or something like that. I mean, judges would have a ton of great stuff. The guy that has the nail in his head. I haven't seen any of that sort of thing. But for the most part, the little kids, they'll dress up. I'm supposed to be Esau or I'm supposed to be, you know, John the Baptist. And you'll have like some kind of woolly thing on that he's wearing, you know.
They're not dressed up like the prophets of Baal or Pharaoh? No,
there might be, usually there's probably that one Hollywood guy, family that, the dad does special effects and they'll probably have some kid dressed like a, dressed like a Pharaoh with all the, you know, or Artaxerxes or something like that. But that's kind of rare. But I mean, most of the times we just let the kids have fun and I think they give like little treats to them. And I mean, and that's the way I would think you'd want to try to do it. My word of wisdom to the folks who might have a conscience about this, and usually it's younger single folks. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they have so much have children, but it's like, you know, your kids, you don't want to unnecessarily stigmatize your children against something that you could otherwise, I think, approach it in a harmless way.
Yeah.
And your kids are going to be looked upon as like, you know, why you're those kids who don't do those. Do trick or treating and you're weird. And look at, I understand as believers, we are set apart and we are not of this world and all of those things. And we are going to be doing weird things as believers. Mm-hmm. But if there's stuff that's not blatantly sinful, and I just don't see Halloween, if you do it in a way that's honoring to the Lord, as being blatantly sinful. There's nothing about the practice of Halloween that requires me to compromise my faith, compromise my convictions, mm-hmm. Or any of those things. It's like, you know, just think about your kids kind of having this strange sort of look from their neighbors when it's not necessary. You know what right. I mean? That's kind of how.
Plus, you end up getting all your trees teepeed and
yes.
your house gets egged and. That's a big mess to clean up.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I was in college and our church was like an anti-Halloween kind of church. So we had like a lot of the chick track kind of philosophy that went everywhere in our, among our people. You know, I just remember kids just really struggling with that because you know, they were kind of forced to, everyone else is dressing up and here they are kind of looking like, I don't know, Amish kid, you know, and you feel sorry for them. And it's like, well, our parents don't do this and because of these things. And it's like the Jehovah Witness girl that couldn't, you know, pledge allegiance to the flag. And it's like, there's nothing, you're not worshiping the flag if you do a little pledge at kind of, hey, I'm an American and I'm patriotic. Mm-hmm. I don't get that. Mm-hmm. And why do you want to make your kid have to leave the room? You draw all of this unnecessary attention to her. And I really felt sorry for that girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonder how many of those kids end up growing up and then like rebel against what their upbringing because You know, the, maybe it's not just because they didn't do Halloween, but you know, it's cumulative. You take the pledge and you take the flag or the Halloween and you take this and that and you put it all together, and before you know it, you're just kind of
exactly. You know what it is you've got kids, and this is another one of my pet peeves, and we're starting to rabbit trail off here because this will get me going here. But there's this whole hysteria on the internet where it's like, hey, your kids are leaving the church, and you know, why are your kids leaving church? And it's always there's all these different reasons. But you know, honestly, the number one reason that people leave church is, well, they're not saved, they're not Christians. That's why they leave the church. And my people in my youth group, I had like 20 kids in my youth group growing up. I probably one or two of them are actually still actively going to church. Most of them they're morally good people, and they're would probably go to church every once in a while at Christmas and Easter or whatever, but they're not actively loving the Lord and pursuing Christ. I mean, that's not part of who they are. Yeah. They might vote Republican because that's always equated to Christianity, but it's like they don't have any serious following of Christ. That's not part of their life. And I think the real rebellion you see among internet atheists and YouTube atheists are a lot of these kids that probably were raised in those sort of backgrounds where everything is stigmatized and there's really no reason for it. And they are rebelling and they get out into the real world and they meet friends who actually enjoy trick-or-treating or listening to secular music or some other thing that they were sort of forbidden to do and saw as an evil. And they see it's not as evil as they thought it was. And, you know, these Christians are stupid. I can't believe they believe like this. And the next thing you know, they're down that path where they're sitting with the scoffers. They're mocking the Bible. And you're not grounding them in a right understanding of what Scripture teaches on these subjects. And that's probably something else that parents who are kind of against Halloween need to consider. It's like, you better make sure you know why you don't like Halloween.
Yeah, just know what you're against. Know what you're for. Teach your kids. Yes. Yeah, you keep going back to the Reformation over and over again. You know, teach them the great doctrines of the Reformation and how they came out from an event that happened on Halloween.
Right, exactly. And it's like when you are the thing that you're against, are you against it? Is it something that you really should be against? I mean, does it really have an impact on faith of your faith and on the theology and on Scripture the way that you think it is? I mean, you need to go back and reevaluate that. And for us, it's like, look, our kids dressing up and for one day and getting candy and enjoying this with the other kid, it doesn't have anything to do with it. It's not impacting your faith. I mean, it's, you know, they know who they are. They know about our church. They know who Jesus is. And dressing up is not going to turn their hearts from that because they're not participating in anything that's necessarily anti-God. That's the way we kind of approach it.
Yep. Yep. Well, Fred, I don't know what else to say about the subject. I don't know.
Oh, you're probably going to get a lot of feedback from this. I'm already anticipating it.
You know, it's interesting you say that because the harshest feedback I've ever gotten for any episode was when you and I did King James Only.
Oh, man, I don't know. I had a friend of mine, I think it might have been Frank Turk, said something about, years ago, I did a little series on homosexual revisionist and exegesis and how they try to reinterpret the Bible to promote homosexuality. And he left some comment, oh, man, you're going to just be deluged with all of these haters. And I'm like, no, you just wait until I start blogging against King James Onlyism.
you've got a group that like follows everything you do, and their whole purpose in life is to refute all of your anti King James Only.
I know there is, and there's always these same names that always pop up. Uh huh. And it's like, is he still alive? Really? I can't believe that he's still around. That was 10 years ago. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll see. No, I would actually be surprised if I get too much on this one, but here's an angle that I didn't think of we should have talked about. Is sometimes it's easy to forget those who are listening internationally. And Halloween's not such a big thing all over the world. It's really an American
thing. Americans have commercialized it. So that Walmart can have like aisles and aisles of Halloween candy.
Which they
and...
start like on July 5th. You start seeing the Halloween candy.
I think it wasn't there. Like, it was the Charlie Brown cartoon.
Well, that's where it's profitable because like when I go to Walmart on July 5th and I see the Halloween candy. That candy I buy on July 5th isn't going to last until October 31st. It's going to be gone long before Halloween.
I think it was one of the Charlie Brown cartoons where they go there to do something, and then it's like it might have been like Valentine's Day or something, and then it's all the Christmas stuff. It's already up. But it doesn't. You know, that's exactly why it's big here internationally. I don't know what they do. They even do trick or treating over in like England, or I don't know where else who would listen to your programs.
That's a good question for our international listeners. Do you guys do it? I know I've got some listeners in Australia and South Africa and non-English speaking countries in Europe. Like, you know, what do you guys do?
I know.
Send me a tweet.
Yeah, it would be interesting to kind of trace the history of Halloween in America as a modern, you know, cultural phenomena. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen old black and white photographs of people dressed up like these hideous looking rabbits and other weird looking costumes that were really cheap. And well, obviously the mother had to sew them together.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. You kind of wonder, okay, well, that's back in the 1900s. You know, how long has it been that people have been going around trick or treating and actually taking their kids out and enjoying the, you know, enjoying their neighbors like that, you know. It's anyway.
Well, thanks, Brad. It was a fun discussion.
And yes, it was.
I'll put the link to your article. We pretty much discussed everything you wrote, but if anybody wants to read it anyway, you can see a picture of how old were you when you were wearing the Batman costume?
It may not be. That might have been someone else. I can't remember where I found that. I would think when I was looking for that picture, I was trying to find old, you know, these old costumes you used to get at Walmart. I'm like, yep, that's the kind of stuff we would make right there. That's what we would wear. Little plastic masks and, you know.
Well, echozoy.com/102 because it's episode 102. 102. We'll need the notes. And I can't imagine there's going to be a whole lot for show notes on this episode. We don't have scriptures referenced like we usually do, and probably not a whole lot of additional resources.
Yeah, but if you want to check it out, read Romans 14 and 15.
Romans 14 and 15. Yep. Yeah, there's some stuff I'll throw in there as I'm editing.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for doing this with me and talking Halloween, and love to do
hopefully
another
people
with you
will someday. Be blessed.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Echo Zoe Radio is an outreach of Echo Zoe Ministries. If you are blessed by the show, please consider offering your support. There are many things you can do to help, including prayer, sharing the show with others, and your financial support. Echo Zoe Ministries is a registered nonprofit organization with 501c3 tax-exempt status, and your donations are tax-deductible. For more information about how you can support Echo Zoe Ministries, please visit echozoe.com/support.
Well, that wraps up episode 102. Thanks for listening to Echo Zoe Radio. And for show notes, you can visit echozoe.com/102. Be sure to check out the website for links to connect to Echo Zoe on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+, and love to connect with you. So follow, like, or circle Echo Zoe Ministries. Lord willing, I'll be back next month for the November 2016 episode of Echo Zoe Radio. And as I like to do in October, I'll close with the Reformation Polka.
Then I was just a younger man. I studied canon law. Though earth was a challenge, 'twas just to please my pa. Then came a storm, the lightning struck, I called upon Saint Anne. I shaved my head, I took my vows in Augustinian. Papal bulls, indulgences, and transubstantiation. Speak your mind against them and face excommunication. Nail your theses to the door, let's start a reformation. The papal bulls, indulgences, and transubstantiation. When Tetzel came near Wittenberg, St. Peter's prophet soared. So I wrote a little message for the All Saints Bulletin Board. You cannot purchase merit, for we're justified by grace. Here's 95 more reasons, Brother Tetzel, in your face. Oh, papal bulls, indulgences, and transubstantiation. Speak your mind against them and face excommunication. Nail your theses to the door, let's start a reformation. With papal bulls, indulgences, and transubstantiation. They love my tracts adored by with all were exemplar. The Pope, however, hauled me up before the Emperor. Are these your books? Do you recant? King Charles did demand. I will not change my diet, sir. God help me, here I stand. Papal bulls, indulgences, and transubstantiation. Speak your mind against them and face excommunication. Nail your theses to the door, let's start a reformation. With papal bulls, indulgences, and transubstantiation. Duke Frederick took a wise approach, responding to my words. By knighting George as hostage in the kingdom of the birds. Use Brother Martin's model if the languages you seek. Stay locked inside a castle with your Hebrew and your Greek. Oh, papal bulls, indulgences, and transubstantiation. Speak your mind against them and face excommunication. Nail your theses to the door, let's start a reformation. With papal bulls, indulgences, and transubstantiation. Now let's raise our steins and concord books together in this place and spread the word that Catholic is spelled with lowercase. The word remains unfettered when the spirit gets her chance. So come on, Katie, drop your lute and join us in our dance. Papal bulls, indulgences, and transubstantiation. Speak your mind against them and face excommunication. Nail your theses to the door, let's start a reformation. With papal bulls, indulgences, and transubstantiation. Papal bulls, indulgences, and transubstantiation.